Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. And that's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. And you can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text our brother 0457140550. And don't forget our Facebook page or Meta. And that's BBM, 98.7 FM, a voice for our peoples that do utilise it. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you say your mob yarn up strong. All right, so yarn with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, the host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and it is your vehicle. I'm just driving it into the future, but an opportunity for you to have your say yarn up strong. Any topic you want to talk about, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And a big shout out to you all. Hope you're well. Big shout out to First Nation radio station across this country of ours, the Deadly Black Network, and do a fantastic job in telling our stories, having our yarns, a beautiful platform to share with mob and also tell our side of things in regard to our life and how we live in the 21st century. And of course, 60,000 years, we ain't going nowhere. So yarn up strong. Have you say 1-800-422-416. Let's open up the show here with Blue Moon Black. In actual fact, we do have a caller on the line. We're going to catch up a yarn. Who we got here? Oh, yes, so we're going to check. Have a yarn. Chat to Doris Eaton, Deputy Co-Chair and on board of the Yamaji Malpa Aboriginal Corporation. And we're talking about Perth Remembers Trailblazing Aboriginal Strikers. The 75th anniversary of one of Australia's most significant Aboriginal strikes is being celebrated in Fremantle in Perth this month. On the line, Doris, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Sister, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
My name is Mrs. Eaton. I couldn't call my name properly because of a cultural reason.
Yes.
And Namal and Bidagali Elder of the Pilbara area.
Beautiful.
In Western Australia.
Good. Thank you. And so you're deputy co-chair on board of the Yamaji Malpa Aboriginal Corporation. And we're talking about the Perth Remembers Trailblazing Aboriginal Strikers back in, 75 years ago, 75 anniversary. So tell us about how you're celebrating that, sister.
First we celebrated in Perth, in Port Hedland itself. We did a march.
Good.
We did a march right up to where they where the old people marched.
Mm-hmm.
We did the march same exactly like them, but closer. And then we celebrated in the it's called Strike Park.
Strike Park.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Next to the police station.
All right, lovely.
And also, just a couple of last week we celebrated in Perth.
Yes.
By having music, sing-song and storytelling.
Beautiful. Because the story behind it all, hundreds of Aboriginal workers walked off the pastoral stations across the Pilbara to fight for wages and better living conditions. That was 75 years ago, sister.
That's correct.
Mm.
And I, especially myself, I feel that.
Yeah.
And I see around myself that we, next generation going to go through that bit of a journey as well.
Yes.
What they fought for, right? And
exactly.
Actually, we haven't even achieved any of that.
Yeah.
What I can.
We're
see
still fighting, aren't we? We're still fighting.
We're still fighting.
Mm, exactly.
Not going to stop.
And any family members there who come from the strikers?
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Okay, thank you.
My father is Ernie Mitchell.
Okay. Make mention of Ernie Mitchell, yes?
Yeah. I call myself my father's daughter because I do exactly like what he does. Because we are for the people.
Yes.
And also there's few old people left, but we want to make this, you know, it's never been highlighted and nobody knows about this, what actually did for all of us, you know, cost the nation.
Yes.
3 years of making this strike.
Yep, well, exactly. Well, still a lot of work to be done in regarding stolen wages and stolen generations. And, you know, it's fantastic that we're acknowledging and recognising our beautiful ancestors who've gone before 75 years ago in Pilbara.
Yeah, and we want our land back. You know,
Exactly.
We only have negotiation rights with our lands. We don't have our land rights. And that's the saddest part.
We're still fighting for that, aren't we, Aunt? 75 years on from a strike, but 230-odd years on, we're still fighting.
Yeah. And I would like to see something come out, like the union help us. You know, union made a big thing, and, like, we should have our Aboriginal union because things happening, especially around mining towns, you know, with our young ones that they haven't got voices because it's about making, generating the money, so... We need to, you know, get the government to be behind us as well.
Yep, exactly. Well, you can't take something that's not yours and operate on it and use it as free will, because it's stolen, isn't it?
Yeah, and we want to fight for the next generation, you know. They fought for us and we're fighting for them, and the next generation is going to keep on continuing, but we want to see the best outcome, what government is actually going to come.
Yeah.
At the table with us.
Exactly. Now, Sister Doris, you got any children yourself?
Yes, I had four. One passed, and I've got grannies, and I've got great-great-grannies.
See, and that's the legacy, yeah, that your father did in regarding the strike, but the fight still continues on, and it's great that we're recognising hundreds of Aboriginal workers that walked off the pastoral stations there at Pilbara 75 years ago. And thank you for the yarn there, Aunt.
Yeah, and then also before you go... Hopefully on 180th, I hope we all march from all corners from your side on that day.
Beautiful, yes, exactly. We're leading from the front there, my sister, and keep the dream alive. Thank you very much for the yarn. Big shout out to the mob there, your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon, sis.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doris. Bye, sis.
Bye.
Deli Yarn there, the Sunday Doris Eaton, her name is Deputy Co-Chair on board of the Yamaji Malpa Aboriginal Corporation, and it's about Perth remembering the trailblazers, Aboriginal strikes, back in it was the 1st of May 1946. Hundreds of Aboriginal workers walked off the pastoral stations across the Pilbara to fight for their wages and better living conditions, and that was 75 years ago, and still fighting in many ways and for many things. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Kubaya daya, up again. I am my body.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country, ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you say, yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. We're going to jump straight in and talk to beautiful Leah Cameron from Murrah Law, and let's talk legal. And on the line, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well, thanks, Trev.
Great to hear your voice, and congratulations with your beautiful child. Three girls in the family now, so too deadly.
Three girls now, I know. Got the
trifecta
there.
So. Got the trifecta. So I reckon two more than got a basketball team. What do you reckon?
I don't know. We already think we need it. You know, our car looks like a community bus when we get going in the morning. So.
Exactly. Well, congratulations. Thinking of you.
Thank you.
So before we start, let the mob know who your mob. Where you from, Leah?
Yeah, look, I'm a Palawa woman from Tasmania. That's my mob from Lutruwita, Tasmania.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Big shout out to Palawa Mob. And let's talk about a couple of topics here at the moment. Debt collection recovery notes. Let's talk about that first, sister.
Yeah. So we're talking about here when you're in business and people don't pay your bills. Mm. So you send them an invoice and sadly they don't pay on time. And look, what we sort of find for, you know, our clients is that look, you don't really know someone until your bills are unpaid.
Yes.
So it's a good idea to sort of do a few things up front to really know who you're doing business with. So, look, one of the first things is for bigger transactions, it's a good idea to have a contract in place that really clearly sets out payment terms.
Sure.
And some of the things you might want to consider are, well, do you actually need a deposit up front? Then get the remainder when you've provided your goods and services.
Yep.
Is there a really clear time frame for them to pay? And look, if they do muck around, include a provision for charging interest on outstanding invoices or payments. Yeah.
Well, that could deter them from holding back payments if there's
Absolutely.
An interest at the table, you know, in regard to the contract, the yarn, the agreement.
That's right. Mm. Yep, that's right. And so, look, there's some pretty easy steps to ensure you get paid along the way. You know, it's all good doing the work, but we want to make sure that the cash flow is there too.
Exactly.
So, as I said, it's really important to know who you're doing business with. So there's a couple of things you can do to help identify people. You can look up ABN numbers. You can check the full names and addresses and date of birth. And just do a bit of due diligence around, well, are the details that I've been provided correct? Because sometimes people just seem to vanish into thin air,
yeah.
which is no good. But look, there's some other just, I suppose, easy tips you can follow as a gentle reminder along the way without seeming like a sledgehammer coming down. So one of the things is that you can provide them with another copy of the invoice as a bit of a gentle reminder. Mm-hmm. I think we all lose things from time to time.
Gentle reminder.
That's it.
Hey, I've got to feed my kids. I need my payment.
Even in my home, I leave some gentle reminders around the place.
You.
So the other thing you can do is provide written statements for everyone at the end of the month. That's good for them to know where they're situated and how much they've spent with your business as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You could just make a phone call to sort of go, look, you know, have I sent it to the right person? Mm. Be happy with the work we did? Do they even agree they owe you money? Sometimes people think, oh, I thought I'd paid that. So, you know, a bit of clarity around that's good.
Sure.
And sadly, sometimes people get themselves in a bit of a pickle in terms of trying to pay. So, look, good business practice, if you can, is to say, hey, if you can't make the whole payment now, why don't we enter into a payment plan or offer them credit card payments, all that sort of thing is a good idea to keeping business and keep your customers happy as well.
I suppose this is very good information, especially for brothers and sisters out there who are about to step into the business world, you know. So let's set up the conversation and the agreement and the communication and have it all up front. So it's a good topic, sister, yeah.
That's it. And look, if it all else fails, sadly, there are a couple of other options we can follow.
Sadly. So we're going, what, legal, are we?
Well, before that, you can send them a letter, and it's called a letter of demand, where you set out what's left, and you sort of say, look, despite all our efforts that we sort of went through, explained a moment ago, you can say, look, it's time to pay up, otherwise I'm going to have to go to court to get the money back. And so that's called a letter of demand, and some people get lawyers to help them do that. But it's good in business if you have one ready to go if you need it. And then the last resort is, as we mentioned, going to court. Mm. And look, that is absolute last resort. It's no fun for anyone. It costs you a chunk of time, money, and a fair bit of your sanity. Mm. So it should be avoided. So that's why we recommend taking those steps I outlined earlier and use it as a last resort because sometimes, as well, it's not worth throwing good money after bad.
Well, exactly. Now, if you're taking someone to court and you win the case and they've got to pay you the money, they also got to pay the court fees and everything too, don't they?
That's right. But, you know, as the person who's gone to court, you might not get any or even part of your money back from the
other
side.
Oh, is that right?
That's it. So there's a huge risk there that's always at play. And, you know, that's why we've got to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's with all our documents along the way as well.
So I just mentioned about, you know, people who starting a business, so fair mob getting out there, starting a business. This is some of the potholes that we're talking about in regard to the journey ahead, the road they're travelling on. So you're saying that someone could lose the case and then they don't even get their money and who pays the court fees?
If you start it, you're paying it. So that's right. A lot of court proceedings, you've got to pay the money up front, a filing fee. Sometimes you're self-representing, so it's not so bad. But if you've got a lawyer there as well, it's a lot of money. As I said, sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not. You've got to, as I said, judge whether it's worthwhile throwing more money at the issue.
And if the letter of demand comes up, thumbs up, where the client then pays you, then that's fantastic. But then you start to think twice about doing business with them again, don't you?
That's it. So, look, you do need to sort of assess those things, keep an eye on, you know, your particular industry, if things are changing, if people are becoming a little tighter with money, maybe introducing more payment options to reduce risk on your business. So all those things are at play and you do need to continually review them as a business owner.
Sure. Fantastic. Now, the other topic I want to talk to you about, holding Indigenous corporation meetings under COVID-19 restrictions. We are still in a pandemic and look, it's like it's going to be here for a while in regard to how we do business and how we operate. So holding Indigenous business corporation meetings under COVID-19 with the meetings about to happen, AGM about to happen. Tell us about this. Let's talk about that introduction, please.
Yeah, that's it. So basically there's been, I suppose all of us have probably been involved in corporations from time to time and normally it's quite straightforward to hold your AGM, but COVID sort of thrown a spanner in the works.
Yes.
Even as things settle down, you know, there's last minute lockdown. So look, governments have anticipated this and they've amended legislation. And so particularly for Indigenous corporations, the Corporations Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Act, or the CATSI Act, allows some flexibility to take special measures to ensure corporations can still maintain good governance,
yes,
and hold both general meetings and directors' meetings. And so there's a special set of rules around this. So things such as you can request the registrar to exercise his power under the Act to postpone or cancel meetings after notice has been given,
mm-hmm,
if these situations arise. You can even do it virtually now,
yes,
if you've got the technology to do it. It can be a little bit tricky, but it can be done. You can extend time for lodging the reports that you need to file with the Register or ORIC.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also hold meetings a little less frequently, particularly directors' meetings, if you can't use the technology.
Sure.
So there's all those exemptions there that are available, but you've just got to apply for them
mm-hmm,
through the Office of the Registrar of Indigenous
Corporations. And the application or the applying is the communication that you're having with ORIC, for example, isn't it?
Exactly, mm, that's exactly right. So you've got to, with all these things, it's good to be on your front foot.
Yes.
And, you know, best to ask in advance rather than, you know, making the decision yourselves and then trying to seek forgiveness for doing the
exactly
wrong thing. So that's right.
So COVID-19 is upon us, so we can still do business and hear the steps to do so. You know, it's about being adaptable, isn't it? Adapting.
It is. That's right. And look, some lobs around the country can still hold face-to-face meetings.
Sure.
You've just got to comply with all those COVID regulations, et cetera.
Mm.
Make sure that your rule books, you know, you're compliant with that. And as I said, if you need some exemptions,
mm,
apply to the Office of the Registrar of Indigenous Corporations.
Fantastic. Lovely, beautiful. Jan, good to catch up with you. And before we let you go, who's Murrawa Law?
Yeah, look, Murrawa Law is an Indigenous legal firm, mostly staffed by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lawyers. I think we're sitting at about 90% of our mob in the practice.
Yes.
And we specialise in commercial property and Indigenous law. And, look, anyone's welcome to give us a call at any time on 07-4041-3088. And look, if we can't give you a hand, we can certainly try and find someone else who can for you.
Lovely. Leah, thank you so very much. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
Will do. Thanks, Trev.
Bye-bye. Adele Yarn there. That's Leah Cameron, principal lawyer there for Murrawa Law. And a big shout out to her team, black lawyers operating in the legal world. And our conversations there were debt collection and recovery notes and how you need to operate in regarding chasing money that's owed to you by clients, so to speak, and also the other topic, holding Indigenous corporation meetings under COVID-19 restrictions. Too Deadly, have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Reach out and touch the one you love. Reach out and touch the one you love. To lose your heart could tear you apart. Reach out and touch the one you love. Reach out and touch another's hand. You'll open up and understand. Don't hesitate, her love won't wait. Reach out and touch another's hand. Oh, what a beautiful night in the world it is for love. Oh, if you love her, hold her tight. By your side in the pale moonlight every night. Reach out and show her that you care. And show her that you care.
That you
beautiful night in the world, it is for love. Oh,
Reach out and touch the one you love.
Reach out and touch the one you love.
Don't hesitate, her love won't wait. Reach out and touch the one you love.
Reach out and touch the one you love.
If she's the one that you've been dreaming of,
I'm the one.
Yeah, Two Deadly, welcome back to your Deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, that's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text your brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, Two Deadly, and a total of 81 artefacts originating from the Burraba region near Tamworth were welcomed with a traditional smoking ceremony on Thursday. The collection of artefacts returned to our country includes ceremonial pieces, axe heads and grinding stones. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Daisy Cutmore and Amber Verman, their chair and deputy chair of Tamworth Local Aboriginal Council on the line. Ladies, good morning. How are we?
Good, thanks.
Good.
How are you?
Well, thank you. So you've got both Daisy and Amber there, yes?
Yes, we do.
Lovely. So start with you, Daisy. Who your mob? Where you from?
My mob is from Gamaroi, Moree, in the northwestern of New South Wales. And I'm the Lands Council, Tamworth Lands Council chairperson.
Lovely. Amber, who your mob? Where you from? Amber, you there? Amber, no. And Daisy, lost both of you. Shut up. You there? No, we'll try and get the girls back. The chair and deputy chair of Tamworth Local Aboriginal Council and talk about the significant artefacts to be repatriated to the Tamworth Aboriginal community. Very deadly yarn, very exciting news, and we'll get them back online and continue that deadly yarn. You can have your say here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. 11:34 here in Queensland, so about 26-odd minutes for the program. And but you can, if you're on the shy side, you can text the brother 045-714-0550 and also your keyboard warriors. Facebook, BBM 987 FM. In actual fact, Facebook's changed the name. Meta, I believe, M-E-T-A. So change of name. And everything still remains the same, but no longer Facebook, Sookbook, Big Face. It's now Meta. So anyway, BBM 987 FM. All right, try and get the girls, but continue the yarn. Stay tuned here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
This story is about a king of the Yarrow, an Aboriginal person who is the elders of the Aboriginal tribal person. He was the king of the Yarrow. He took his people from Beagle Bay to Broome. He took all his families, the tribal person, and teach them how to learn the culture, the law side, dancing with the women and men. He learned his education from the nuns, which is Billard's mission. He learned his education from the woman of God.
He was Taylor Paddy, who was known as the Taylor Man. Taylor Paddy, Taylor Man. He designed the clothes for the working class man, put the craft of design on their backs. Shook the hands of the queen from the motherland. She granted him a kiss. Try to understand. A black Yarrow prince and a queen to a nation. Unification. He was Taylor Paddy. He was known as the Taylor Man. Taylor Paddy, Taylor Man. He designed the clothes
for the working class.
That's King of Yarrawa here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I was having a daily yarn with Daisy Cutmore and Amber Vernon, Chair and Deputy Chair of Tamworth Local Aboriginal Council, and talk about the significant artefacts that has been repatriated to Tamworth Aboriginal community. Try again. You there, girls?
Yep.
Thank you, thank you. Called you back. Sorry, lost you there. But Daisy, got your intro. Thank you very much. And your mob. To Amber, who your mob? Where you from, sis?
I'm a Gamilaroi woman from Tamworth.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. So very exciting news. So a total of 81 artefacts originated from Baraba region near Tamworth, now all welcome home. So tell us about the beautiful artefacts being returned and how the mob are feeling.
They were returned by the Armidale Culture Centre and Keeping Place, and they were procured by the New South Wales Aboriginal Lands Council, our peak body in New South Wales, for the Lands Council, and they were able to retrieve it from a private collection prior to it being sold, and we would have lost it. So the Armidale Keeping Place actually had it in storage and safekeeping for the last 20 years, and now we're in a position to actually return them to Baraba, to their home lands. And the mob are very excited about the fact that they're able to be returned home.
Yeah, and when you look at it, when stuff like that happens, you know, we think of our ancestors, and that spiritual connection to country is front and centre, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Annie, you want to talk?
I'd say it's very... You definitely do sense things with such an achievement.
Yes.
I think all of our people are very proud to have our artefacts home. And we do feel a very strong connection to finally have this return to country, and it's really good for everyone. It has been, and we'd just like to take our time to thank everyone who made this happen as well. And Armidale doing a great job for keeping them, for us to keep them safe and watching over them for that time.
Well, exactly.
A rich part of our culture, and as you say, it's very spiritual, and it certainly brings us peace and joy to know that the the remains or the artefacts of our ancestors are still here, so that we can certainly keep it safe for our future generations as well, education.
So we had a smoking ceremony in regard to the celebration. So, of course, traditional owners front and centre, and the community, was it open for the celebration as such?
Oh, look, it was open for the community, and the ones that wanted to come, they came, but I think most of the people were just able to, because of the COVID situation here in Tamworth as well, people were just a little bit weary of coming, which is totally fine, but they certainly were kept in the loop in relation to our social media down here, and people have come up to me and Amber and said that was really deadly. I feel good that we've got our things back.
Exactly. Yeah. So where will the artefacts be held now, please, Daisy?
Yes?
Yeah, where will the artefacts be held now? Where are you holding them?
They'll be held in storage at the at Len Waters' keeping place as well here in Tamworth.
Good.
It's under lock and key, so it's very safe. And then the Tamworth community, or the Tamworth Lands Council, who are the current holders on behalf of the Baraba community, we're going to hold talks with them as to where they would like them repatriated to, and they'd like to categorise it because they want to share our heritage in that with our people as well.
Yeah.
So in respects to the Baraba community as well, and we do have a lot of Baraba members in Tamworth itself, but Baraba's only about a 1 to 2 hour trip north of Tamworth.
Okay.
So, yeah, not too close.
Beautiful. Yeah. So we have the neighbours and strong relationships with the Baraba mob, yep?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely,
yep. And Daisy, yourself being a chair, and Amber there, the deputy chair, how long have you guys been holding the reins for that fantastic organisation, Tamworth Local Aboriginal Council?
I've been on the board for approximately 8 years, holding a board member's seat. And then I've been in the chair position for the last year due to the passing of our chairperson.
Okay.
But was actually voted in as chairperson in recent times.
Mm.
And Amber, she's been the youngest chairperson in history in our local lands council. She's 23, very articulate,
yes,
very passionate in our mob, and it's good. And we certainly encourage the young people in our community to actually join and to participate. And she's been the deputy chair. She was elected this year as well.
Go Amber, too deadly.
Yeah, deadly, all right.
Lynn from the front, look beautiful, fantastic. It was great news, 81 Artifacts back on country. Congratulations, big shout out to the mob there. And ladies, thank you very much for sharing and keep doing what you're doing, my sisters.
Thank you very much, brother, and you keep spreading the word as well.
You're good yarning with you. Take care, all the best to your mob.
Yep, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. That's Daisy Cutmore and Amber Vernon, their name is, Chair and Deputy Chair of Tamworth Local Aboriginal Council. And fantastic news, having 81 artefacts originating from the Baraba region near Tamworth were welcomed home with the traditional smoking ceremony on Thursday. So fantastic. Congratulations there. Beautiful. When that happens, it's, like I said, strong in spirit. Thinking of our ancestors, and we are, hey, say, putting the jigsaw puzzle pieces back together in regard to first people of this country, strong and whole 60,000 years, and we ain't going nowhere. Have you saying yarn up strong? 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Yeah.
That's Mary G, their fruit song here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yana Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. We got someone online. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, your brother. Yeah, what a big shout out to Uncle Gujubuju and Tony there, brother Tony. You think talking about the man from Uncle bad enough? I'll talk about other things first.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about the Penguin from Batman, brother.
Yeah. Yep.
The Penguin from Batman, and it's going to be good about Tony and Uncle Goody too. But anyway, brother, you know I hate you. I'm on Facebook all the time, and be it may be a sook book, and you know, like attacks on us. It's not like a single, it's multi-pronged, the attacks on us. It comes from all angles. And one of the ones to push back, one of the ways of pushing back from all that attack on us is Facebook. And because of Facebook, brother, I hear a lot of stuff, I see a lot of stuff, not even talked on this radio, like Duncan Gore, the death of the three-year-old, COVID, and there are lots of issues that are spoken about. I don't hear on this room. You know, brother, we don't get the calls like we used to, you know, brother. So that's a good way how I say it's not just a book about, you know, like adding at your daily laundry, but there's a lot of pushback from, like, the Cairns crime side and the Townsville crime side. We're always the dem, and they attack us, our collective ethnicity, when a few black people get into, you know, start trouble. But anyway, brother, on this, Uncle Goody, we used to go, me and three other fellows used to go in the white area on Palm Island. It was a privileged area, and our granddad Henry and our granny Alma 4 Mile was there, and Uncle Goody Goody was a little boy then. Mm. But we weren't allowed to go there, but they stepped, you know, they were doing things. They went against the apartheid system, our granddad and our granny, and they let them, we were a bit touchy, but going there. But we used to watch Batman. And Tony, this is going to be about you and your mob, all the Migglers. That bloke was named, played the Penguin, his name was Burgess Meredith. Brother, last week you had a lady on the name Meredith Burgess. Do you remember that call, brother? Meredith Burgess.
She was
the first time I ever met was in 1971. It was the anti-apartheid, when anti-apartheid, when the campaigner came out, I forgot his name, but he came out here, at that time, and that's the first time I ever marched in May in 1971 in Sydney. And Meredith Burgess, brother, she always been at the forefront of fighting against racism. And where we go with Tony, Tony Mobb, Old Fella Tiger O'Shane, and Leonardo, Ellen, I think his name, the Russian bloke, brother. A lot of family, Hollingsworth, Gears family, and I forgot, I just can't remember. Big Mob of family, Black Lives Matter activists, I'll give back to the community. And you would talk, that caller from WA talked about Pilbara. And Greg Reed used to come on, and he spoke about old man Dooley Binbin. He was one of those folks, and he was a white fellow, brother, Don McLeod. And you know, when we talk about, you know, they don't know our history, I think that's black fellows, we got to know our white fellows' history too that got involved, you know, and they're the kind of white fellow. They had the finger pointed at their own mob, pointing at them. And they went against the grain, against their own white fellows too, you know, to stand with us. And I'd like to say that, like, Tony's one of them fellows in the 70s. And it's good to remember those kind. And Meredith Burgess to come on the show. She's a campaigner. She's always stood by us. And I just thought I'd mention that, brother, that a lot of the white folks, let's forget them too, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother, too, Dudley. Yeah, it's not about being right, it's about doing what's right, is what I'm picking up there with someone, regular caller here on your daily program. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Call the number. We've got the news coming up here very soon. Want to make a big mention, big shout out to Wu Chopran. COVID vaccine pops up, and they're doing pop ups again this week and happening today at Moorabool Hub. That's in Shang Street. And all week, Tuesday at Todd Park, Edmonton. On Wednesday, Manura Hub at Manura. Thursday at Henley Hill Park at Oval. And then on Friday, Lions Park at Oval as well. So they're doing their bit in regard to getting the jab done. Your mob, best way of protecting the community, protecting your family, protecting yourself. Or turn up at the pop-ups to have that conversation with the deadly staff there at Wu Chopran. And across this nation, for our deadly mob, talk with your First Nation health organisations and make that decision. It's come to the time with Trinity Trev going to sign off. Thank you very much for your company, your mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Your host, the baldy one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, steering your ship. It is your ship. Have your say and yarn up strong. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic. Abide by the rules and get the information you mob. Too deadly.